What turns on a killer is the suffering and death of another human being. And as his determination builds to take another life, he plans in obsessive detail what props he'll bring, what knots he'll tie. Let me ask you guys something. What turns you on?
Welcome to Canvas and Crime, your ultimate destination for true crime and horror merchandise. Meet Elizabeth, the creative force behind canvasandcrime.com. She combined her passion for painting with her fascination for true crime and horror, giving birth to this unique shop.
You're looking for an intelligent white male, 20 to 30 years old, socially functional.
Are you a fan of serial killer memorabilia? You're in luck. Canvas and Crime has an incredible selection, from iconic mugs featuring notorious figures like Ted Bundy and the Zodiac Killer, to killer shot glass sets that showcase your favorite serial killers.
All I know to do is change your locks, tighten up your security, and pray.
But that's not all. You can also find custom prints of your most loved serial killer, adding a personal touch to your collection. For the most entertaining serial killer merchandise, look no further than canvasandcrime.com. Support a small business and dive into the chilling fun. Shop today, and don't forget to follow Canvas and Crime on YouTube as well.
Hey everyone, it's Albert Parker here. I'm the host of the new Hollywood Hustle podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Welcome to the show where we stop gawking at red carpets and start following the money. We dive deep into the financial secrets that keep Hollywood thriving. Not gossip, not just celebrity dirt, real structures, real cash flows, the corporate chess moves that decide what gets greenlit and what gets buried. Who actually owns Hollywood? Who makes the real money? And who's just along for the ride? So what makes Hollywood hustle stand out? We don't just report headlines, we unpack them. Now, how do you listen? Hollywood Hustle Podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. For ad-free episodes, be sure to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hey, what's happening? Jason Marsden here, a.k.a. Max Goof. And you're listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm
Ashley.
Samantha? I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Don.
Okay.
And of course, we're produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Yeah, make sure you check out our social media. We've got Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube Shorts.
See, go to our Instagram. I posted a poll yesterday. I've posted another poll for this week. Tomorrow. Yeah, the poll will come out tomorrow. Go interact. Go talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
We want to hear from you.
Talk to us.
Come talk to us.
Yes, please.
Connect talking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness. And Dan, you're good morning. You have way too much energy. I need you to give some of that
just
to me.
Just a tad.
Because I got nothing. I got nothing this
morning. Lots of energy. Yeah.
Okay. I can feel it. It's coming through. Okay.
I got to bed really late, too. I got to bed at like 1:30-ish. Got up at like 7.
Yikes.
You went to bed later than
me. Yikes.
Oh my gosh. Going to bed at like after midnight for me is like death anymore. Yeah. I feel like an old lady. I like look back. I'm like, I used to be able to go to bed at like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, get up in like 3 hours, go to my 8 o'clock class and survive a day. Like what happened? Sometimes. Sammy, what happened to us?
I don't know. I go to bed early, so I don't know.
I do too. I go to bed at like 9.
Yeah.
My husband thinks I'm crazy because he doesn't go to bed till like after midnight every night.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I forgot to look up? I found a piece of Disney news like weeks ago that I wanted to talk about, and I forgot to look up what it was. Maybe I'll find it towards the end and we can talk about it then, because I feel like it was something we need to talk. We need to discuss. But I'll find it.
Okay.
But there is a lot going.
I don't know.
Oh, there's a rumor. There's a rumor. There's a good, there's a interesting rumor.
Okay.
That our CEO, Mr. Josh, is contemplating bringing back the Disney stores.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. That is interesting.
Yeah. Apparently, there were some things randomly said that people were like, wait a second, what did you just say? And it's like potential. Like, I don't know if it's actually being threshed out, but it's a rumor. So it's not a Disney news. It's a Disney rumor.
Okay.
That potentially the Disney stores might be back in discussions, which I would not be mad about.
That'd be great.
No.
Except
as long as they do it right.
That'd be great. Except like we have to kind of actually make shopping malls a thing again. Because people don't even go to shopping malls anymore. Not really. I mean, like.
No. Depending where you are.
In Fort Wayne, Glenbrook had a resurge before I moved over to Ohio.
Oh, really?
And there, yes. Like Jefferson Point's dead. You know how Jefferson Point used to be the place to go?
Mm-hmm.
And Glenbrook, now Jefferson Point's done. Like Books a Million, not Books a Million, that's Florida. Barnes and Noble left it. There's no more Flat Top Grill.
Crazy.
I'm still mourning. Yeah. I'm beyond mourning that one. But Glenbrook had a resurgence. And I went there during Christmas last year, not like actual Christmas, but Christmas season. And there was teenagers everywhere. I'm like, it's
interesting.
Cool to hang out here again.
That's cool.
Well, that's a good thing for the malls.
Yeah. Okay,
so and I heard there's a mall here in Dayton, just south of me, that is really popular. Mm-hmm. So I think in certain areas, malls are still a thing.
Okay.
Just not in other places.
Well, there's a mall here in Tampa. It's University Mall. That's pretty much a dead one. But then you drive maybe 20 minutes.
Is it dead now?
I call it the Indiana Jones of malls because it has been through every rendition. It had so many stores gutted, replaced. I mean, it's been stabbed, kicked, whatever, metaphorically speaking. And it just refuses to die. It just keeps going. Like, it literally has, last time I was there, it has maybe 13 stores in the entire mall. And, like, maybe three or four food court restaurants. They're restaurants. It's literally just food court stuff. And that's it.
Wow.
Two sides of it, like, one of the, there was a Burlington's, and it's still there, but it's, like, converted into a separate store, so you can't get there from the mall anymore. You have to go through the parking lot. And then the former West Wing is now like a Sprouts Whole Food store, like some kind of Whole Food store or something.
Interesting.
Yeah. But then you drive like 20 minutes west, and then you get to Citrus Park Mall, and that's like a little bit better, mostly on the weekends, but even the weekdays, I mean, it's still pretty dead. That one does have like restaurants and like stuff like that. So
interesting.
You have like
strange.
You have Lakeshore and International Mall, which I guess are a little better. I don't go there that often, but yeah, I don't know. It's also a weird, they're in a weird space right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think the further we get away from COVID, I think it's a little bit better. Like people are a little bit more accepting to go in because there are still some places that like not Florida and not Indiana, but I mean, like I'm in Ohio and I still have seen people still wearing masks, still trying to like distance themselves. I think the further away we get, I mean, I know Nebraska was still very like
they were pretty strict last time I was there.
All the things. So So I think depending on where you live and the strictness from how far away we've been from COVID is, because we're only technically 3 years away from the official close of COVID. Not even 3 years, like almost 3 years.
When was the official close from COVID? Like when?
Like 2023. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in Florida, so it's like
you didn't have COVID.
Not really the same. Yeah. No one really acknowledged it here.
Certain businesses would do it. Like certain businesses would be like, "Oh, please wear a mask and do that." But like, you know, you go to I remember it was night and day doing you guys in Nebraska, and it was like everything was very in place. I mean, they were like the urinals in the men's room were like spaced out. Like they had like everyone blocked off. So it's like, okay, you know, we're just doing the things. And then I get back to Florida and it's like everybody's all in each other's business and like elbow to elbow and like everything's
Nebraska was very strict all the way up until I left. Like I got home to I remember coming home to Indiana and going to my job for the first time, and I was geared up. I had my mask, I did all the things that I'm used to doing, and I get in and none of them had anything. They were all hugging each other, they were near each other. I'm like, what's happening? They're like, oh yeah, you don't have to worry about that here. I'm like, oh dear Lord. You can tell, like, COVID was very political. You could tell which states were Republican and which states, or not even states, cities. You could tell which cities leaned right and which cities leaned left just on how they did COVID.
Yes.
But anyways, this is not a political podcast. We should move on from that. But so rounding back to the rumor, there might be Disney stores again in our future. As long as they have the big plush island, I'll be happy.
That's what everybody really wants.
That's what everyone remembers.
I still want to like jump. My biggest want when I was a kid was to jump in it and hide in it.
Yeah, just hang out in the plushes. Kid wanted to do that. Honestly,
for the longest time, I remember being a kid and my parents got me a little hand puppet of Iago from Aladdin. From that plush thing.
That is amazing. So cool.
He put his hand up his
Yeah, really and truly.
And you make your hand on it. I was like, oh my God, I played with that thing forever. Had it for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did see, I guess in some Disney news, I did see the remaster or remake of Rock and Roller Coaster for the Muppets is coming along.
Yeah, they're working on it.
They've posted some like outside pictures of like what the car looks like now, what the guitar looks like now. I love it. I think it's amazing. I was sad. I was watching a reel of somebody who was like ranking all the Muppet movies. Every Muppet movie, they said, if this is your favorite, you're perfect. And then they'd add whatever this movie tells about you. But they didn't have the Muppet Haunted Mansion on it. I was very annoyed.
Oh, so they just like the older ones. Wait a second. Gotcha.
No, they had the new ones too.
Well, I mean like the Haunted Mansion one, because that's like the newest one, right?
Yeah, they had it, but he just made it. It was like one of those, like it told me it was posted the day of. I'm like, What? You can't just leave out Muppet Haunted Mansion.
True. Yeah, it's a classic.
Anyways, we're not talking about the Muppets today.
No.
We are still in our book to media month. I don't know. I didn't have her come up with an official name for this month. I'm sorry, guys.
Books to movies.
But last...
Books to movies. That's pretty much what it's been.
Well, it's not all movies, though. Some of it's a TV show. Yeah, it's not movies.
Some of it's TV show. Books to media.
To media. I think I've been using the term media.
I mean, yeah, I think it's a TV show, but, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just focused on the movies.
Pages to the screen. I don't know. Something pages to screen. Anyways. Sure. Last week we did Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief. We looked at the book, the movie, and the first season of the TV show. This week, we are wrapping up Percy Jackson with Percy Jackson and the Sea of Monsters. Now, yes, if you're Percy Jackson fans, you know there are a multitude of more books. But sadly, we are not there yet. We are waiting on season 3. They've already started filming it. It is going to be glorious, just like the seasons have been. Thankfully, they did not do more movies after this. This movie is horrible. I'm sorry. This movie is horrible compared to if you are a fan of the books. This movie is horrible.
That's terrible.
And I don't know who did it, if it was Sammy or if it was Robbie, but somebody got on and in Limitless Broadcasting Instagram and clicked the movie as their favorite adaptation, and I wanted to strangle. Well, Robbie, I'm assuming it was Robbie.
Robbie hasn't read the books or seen any of the TV shows, so his only option would have been the movie. So that's
I wanted to strangle. At least he participated. But I figured it was Robbie.
At least he participated. Know, you know,
I, he there did. We go. I was proud
compared,
of him.
Compared to the first movie, I kind of zoned out watching this one, so I don't know if that helps you in any way. I don't have anything to compare it to other than the first movie. So I was just like, it was just like, this is kind of forgettable. I don't know. Like,
don't worry. I'll tell you why it's horrible as we go through everything. Mm-hmm. So let's start at the beginning. We got to start at the beginning, which is the book. Mm-hmm. This is the summary of the book. Percy Jackson returns to Camp Half-Blood to find that the magical borders protecting it are failing because of Thalia's tree. If you don't remember who Thalia is, she is the son or the daughter of Zeus, who got turned into a tree protecting Annabeth and Luke as they were coming into the camp against the Furies. But her tree had been poisoned. So to save it, Percy and his friends must find the Golden Fleece. Now, the Golden Fleece is a part of Greek mythology. It is known to heal anything it touches. But it's hidden in the dangerous sea of monsters. Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun. Or the Bermuda Triangle. Percy travels with Annabeth Chase, Tyson, and later Clarissa. They face monsters, rescue Grover, and retrieve the fleece. At the end, the fleece heals the tree, but unexpectedly revives Thalia, setting up for future conflict. Now, this summary is not the best, because in reality, Percy only travels because he went against the rules. He was not chosen for the quest. Clarissa was, who is the daughter of Ares, and he snuck out of camp because he didn't trust her to do it.
Right.
Which, if you read the book, it makes sense because she's a horrible person in the book. But in this book, the main characters are Percy, Annabeth, Grover, Tyson, Clarissa, Luke, and Chiron. And the thing about this book, and I think the reason why I latched onto it so quickly, was because it is a kind of modern day version of Odysseus's quest in the Odyssey. Okay. Like, it's we're going to see, if you read the Odyssey in high school, because they kind of require us to, at least they did us in Indiana. You see all the same monsters, you go kind of the same route, you meet all the same, it's kind of the same, it's very, very similar on the, on the journey, not the theme, but the journey, which I love. So it was written and published in 2006, inspired, like I said, by Odysseus' journey. It includes Tyson. So Tyson is a new supporting character that we did not have in the first book. Percy met him in the streets of New York going to high school, but he's not a normal person, like a normal everyday person, human. He is actually a Cyclops. But he becomes one of Percy's best friends. So he gets brought into the story. Of course, it continues to expand the world beyond Camp Half-Blood. And then, of course, the twist at the end, Thalia's return, which becomes very, very critical later on in the books slash war coming up on the season. So the major plot points to kind of get from the book to kind of get an understanding of kind of how the book flows. Percy has a dream at the very beginning that Grover's in danger. He is. He's been captured by Polyphemus. If you remember your Greek mythology from high school, Polyphemus is the huge cyclops, one-eyed cyclops I can't see very well that Odysseus stabbed, I believe, in the eye. Then Camp Half-Blood is threatened because Thalia's tree is poisoned. They don't know who did it. They have their inklings, but they don't know who did it yet. Percy meets Tyson, his cyclops and a half-brother. Clarissa is officially sent on the quest for the Golden Fleece, not Percy, Clarissa. Percy, Annabeth, and Tyson secretly follow her. They enter the Sea of Monsters. They encounter monsters, magical dangers at sea, which would be like, I can never say their names right. It's a big whirlpool with teeth. I don't know how to say her name. I think it's Chebron. I don't know. It's very close to Chiron, but with a B. And then Cilia, which is like multi, it's almost like a Hydra, but not, but like it's a monster. But they then, with a lot of difficulty, rescue Grover from the Cyclops Polyphemus. They obtain the Golden Fleece, return to camp. Fleece heals the tree, but then, oh my gosh, Thalia is there. Which is huge because in this book, you learn about the big prophecy that one of the children of the top three, which is Hades, Zeus, or Poseidon, is going to either destroy or help thrive Olympus. They have to choose. So originally, the only person we knew of that could be that person is Percy. But now Thalia is revived at the end of this book, and we're like, oh, shish kebabs. Now we have another person. Oh, there's the list. Styphilian birds, Scalia, I don't know. It's all Greek. I can't say it. Giants in there. Anyways, so that's the book. That's kind of like an overview of the book. There's a lot missing there, but I'll get into some details as we do differences. The movie. The movie. So again, Pursuer, it's all the same. I'm not even going to read it, except for this part. Their journey takes them into the Sea of Monsters, where they face Luke, who plans to use the Fleece to revive Kronos, which is what the plan is all along in both the book, movie, everything. But in the climax, Kronos actually is revived, and Percy defeats him, something that does not happen in the book. And that moment happened in the movie. I was in theaters watching, and I verbally said, what the hell? Sorry, listeners. I'm like, what is this nonsense?
Going along with the theme.
With the Hades, there we go, yes.
What the Hades is happening right now? And he didn't even look like Kronos. He looked like a demon coming out from the ground, and that's not Kronos.
That does not feel, I mean, it looked really cool, not gonna lie. It looked very cool. Yeah. I feel like this is not consistent with Greek mythology.
No, it was not consistent at all.
Vibes going, then,
Yes.
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 Yes, they like threw in Norse mythology at the last minute. I'm like, no! We have Norse mythology books from Rick Riordan. Go to that universe. I haven't read them all yet. I need to. We also have, he's also done Egyptian mythology.
Oh, wow.
So good. Oh my gosh. Yes. I need to buy them. I read them, like I borrowed them from the library or something, which was stupid of me. I should have just bought them. Yeah. You know me in books. But anyways, main cast is the same. Logan Learman is still Percy. Alexandra is still Annabeth. But you know, because people were mad, they dyed her hair blonde in this movie. I'm like, this is stupid. You already had her dark hair. Why are you trying to change it? You already pissed us off. This is not going to help. Brandon T. Jackson was still Grover. Douglas Smith played Tyson. And Jake Abel was Luke. So some behind the scenes of this movie. It was directed by, funny thing, Thor Frodenthal. So apparently there was some Norse directing anyway, so that made sense. And this combines elements from multiple books. Like, this wasn't just book two. This was like, they literally summed up four books in one movie, and it pissed me off.
Wow.
Battle with Kronos, not in the original story. It received mixed to negative reviews from fans. I don't think it had any positive reviews from like actual like book fans. Movie fans, I don't know, but book fans, we were up in arms. And this was way before like big social media. So they probably are lucky that the social media we have today was not happening yet, because they would have been torn apart. And this was the last movie in the series. Well, it was kind of had to be the last movie in the series because of how they did it. And it was low success. So there's that. A lot of criticism. They rushed the storyline, removing many book events. They changed the ending. They reduced Clarissa's role. Like, Clarissa in this movie was non-existent. It simplifies or removes major monsters, and it feels more like an action movie than a mythological quest. That's the thing about Greek mythology. It is a quest. Right. It is not
just action, action, action. It's not just plot, plot, plot. It's, it's about the journey and the transformation that takes place.
Yes. Yes. And they did not do right. that. So thankfully we have Disney Plus mm-hmm. and their revival, mm-hmm. which another big thing is Rick Riordan had no involvement in either of the movies, which he knows was the worst mistake of his yeah. life when mm-hmm. it came to his work. He has high involvement in the Disney Channel show, which makes me very happy. Or the Disney Plus show. I'm sorry. Not Disney Channel.
Right.
We don't have that anymore.
No.
So coming back to the show, season two takes place a year after season one, which is accurate. It's the same thing. Tree's poisoned. Grover's missing. Percy discovers Tyson, his Cyclops brother. We also, I have not said this yet, but we also find out Tyson is actually his half-brother. Because Tyson is a Cyclops, mm-hmm. and Cyclops are usually born from Poseidon and some sort of spirit dryad water nymph mm-hmm. person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the gods, they are not loyal to their spouses, hence demigods. Mm-hmm. Tyson was actually claimed by Poseidon in the camp, which is huge because he's a monster and he's not supposed to be in camp. Mm-hmm. So that was a big, that's like a big thing within the season. But just like in the book, Clarissa is chosen for the quest and they leave and go help them on the journey. And you do see Luke in this. So you still have Walker as Percy, Leah as Annabeth, Aaron as Grover. Why didn't they give me, who played Tyson, the dum-dum chat GPT? Hold on. I just noticed that. Tyson in Percy Jackson season two. Daniel Deemer plays Tyson. Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys. You know, chat's not always the best. Dior Goodjohn played Clarissa. And Charlie is back as Luke. So just adding a couple new faces. Same monsters, Polyphemus, and the other ones I can't pronounce. We do get sirens in this one, which I don't believe we had in the book, which is kind of cool to see because their take on sirens was very different than most like siren adaptations mm-hmm. because usually sirens are mermaids mm-hmm. in the water. Sirens here are like these stone creatures like that are on land and they like siren you in and then they destroy you. It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. But very different. Some behind the scenes for season two. It premiered in December of 2025. It is a direct adaptation of The Sea of Monsters. 8 episodes. It's practical and moving ship sets were used to simulate ocean travel during filming. Love practical sets. Thank you very mm-hmm. much.
Always.
The series was series was already renewed for season 3. I mean, I could see this show going through all 10 books. There is 10 books, and mm-hmm. I could see it going through all 10. And I'm really hoping they do. I think it would be amazing. But yeah, so that's just some quick behind the scenes. So before we get into the nuances and differences, where I go on a rant, I want to give you guys a chance to tell me what you thought of what you watched or saw.
I always liked the concept of the gods and the titans and like that there's this other bigger thing mm-hmm. over, you know, the rulers of Olympus or whatever. Despite it not being accurate, I did think Kronos looked very cool and I enjoyed watching him. Mm-hmm. Other than that, a lot of this movie is, in my opinion, just kind of forgettable. Like it really didn't really... Like, the first one, I remember pretty much everything about it. And then, like, I didn't mm-hmm. remember a lot mm-hmm. of what you're talking about until you mentioned it today. So that's kind of, like, mm-hmm. how I feel about that. I mean, it was fine. It was okay. It was entertaining-ish. But on the whole, I was just like, it was okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I watched 4 episodes of the show and then the movie after. So mm-hmm. I had less of an interest in the movie. when we watched it, because I was just like, well, this is definitely a little different than what I just finished with the series. Cause I basically watched the first episode and then the last three.
If
I'm remembering right. Cause online everybody was saying like those episodes were the better ones. So I was like, okay, I'll just watch those. You know,
they're probably the most important in like the storytelling.
Yeah.
But like the series is supposed to act like the book. So there's going to be stuff in there that's kind of like slow paced.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. So I was like, well, I'll just watch those. But I mean, the movie is okay. But yeah, it's definitely more of an action movie than it is like storytelling for sure, which is probably why Robbie liked it. But he doesn't know anything about the rest of this. I didn't have the show on. I watched that without him. And yeah. And he didn't actually see the first movie. He just came in for the second. Nice. So I basically did like a brief summary of what was going on. I'm like, yeah, his dad is Poseidon. He controls water, you know, all sorts of crap. Yeah. And here we go. Yeah.
Crash course.
Yeah, basically. But yeah, no, the show's always going to be better because you have more time to do stuff. Mm-hmm. So the characters were better fleshed out. The story was better fleshed out for sure. Mm-hmm. As far as the adventure and, you know, the first episode I had a little trouble getting into, but that's how it always goes for first episode is establishing, right? The story. So it's never super fast. Yes. Lucifer. Sorry. Lucifer's just like super needy. But the final bits with the actually wrapping up the season, I thought was really interesting. And they were talking about the nightmares and the joint dreams and stuff, which we didn't really get in the movie. Like it wasn't, there was stuff that I was like, oh, they didn't even like acknowledge this. Yep. And it was so cool in the show to see how they knew where everybody was and that everyone was okay and how to deal with. Yeah. It was much better in the show for sure. Even having not read the book, I already could tell.
Nice.
It was a lot better fleshed out in the show. And the way it ends too, with Percy realizing something bad is coming, I think was much better established in the show too. Just the way he looked at Talia, like, oh crap. Oh, this is not going to be good. Yeah. The movie is just, it's not well established as far as where the story is going to go.
The show dramatizes Thalia a little bit too much.
A little over dramatic.
Like, I'm like,
Percy was like freaked out. I was just like, dang, what's going to happen?
He's not that freaked out in the movie.
No, okay. No. Okay, gotcha.
No.
Yeah.
It's interesting. But yeah, like, because the book is very, like, just the whole series in general is very inside Percy's head. Like, if you read the book, you are literally reading the thoughts and reactions of a 12, 13, 14 year old boy, depending on which one you're reading. And it's very weird in a little boy's head. I mean, Dan, you've been there, you know, because you're a boy and was 12, 13, 14. But for me, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is very all over the place. This is interesting. And he has ADHD, very strong ADHD. So, you know, inner thoughts are everywhere. So when they tried to bring that to the screen, like, they had to do certain things to try to, like, help us see what his reactions might actually be from the book, because we're never going to get what the book is, because the book is very hard first person.
That's a big challenge.
So
like,
well.
Translating like a first person narrative to
translate to
the screen, then the entire story is just somebody's internal monologue. Yeah.
His monologue's hilarious. Maybe, next time, like maybe when we do season three, whenever that's going to do, I'll have to read some of his inner monologue to you guys, because it's just so entertaining.
It's great.
So entertaining. The reason why the books are so good. And it's awesome that it's like, because most like the sucky thing is when you get to young adult books, like to go on a slight rant about books, we have gone away from, I think they're starting to get it a little bit, but we've gone away from like male main characters by the time you get to young adult. But in middle grades, you still have a lot of male main characters to read. And I love that because even as a female, I enjoy reading those books. I mean, you got Harry Potter, you got Percy Jackson. Just those two off the top of my head. There's other ones, but it's cool to I like having those types. I just wish they would do it more in the young adult space. Mm-hmm. I don't know if maybe they're just scared to do it in the young adult space because of what goes through teenage boys' minds. I don't know. Or maybe there's just not authors who want to go to that space. I'm not sure. There is a little bit of a surge, but it's mostly like...
What goes on in teenage boys' minds? I mean, it's just a lot of everything. I was a teenage boy. It's everything.
Yeah.
It's all kinds of stuff. If we like girls, we think about, the opposite sex. But it's like, I don't know. Just life. We just don't really have a language to articulate it. So it's all just like, bleh.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think it's funny that we have so many female in earth. I don't know if it's because females read more at young adult age than boys, teen boys do. I'm not really sure why they do that, but that was a little rant. Okay. So let's talk differences. And some things I do want, there's one specific difference in the TV show. I do want to go over that kind of annoys me, but it's fine. Big differences, of course, is the age in the movie and the TV series and the book. So we're 13 years old in this book. Movie was 16 to 17. The goals were pretty much the same, but the movie made it a lot more basic, which was annoying. Grover's role, he is captured by Polyphemus on a quest. So his quest that he's going on is to try to find the god Pan. In Greek mythology, Pan is supposed to be the god of the wild things. And he disappears. I don't remember what story it is in Greek mythology, but he just up and disappears. Mm-hmm. And the goal of all the wild things is to find him. And Grover has gotten to the point where he can finally go on this quest to find him. And he follows what he thought was Pan sent into the Sea of Monsters. And that's how he gets caught by Polyphemus. A lot of emotion on saving Grover, because Grover is literally like Percy's bestie. Like, they are connected, like some weird Greek spiritual thing where they can like talk to each other in their dreams. It's very weird. Actually, that might be useful, Sammy. Why don't we have that?
I mean, it's a good way to communicate without people knowing. So,
exactly. Yeah. And we would actually get to see each other.
Yeah. Like, just hanging out in a dream. More like wandering around, doing whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We could go on adventures and dreams. That would be amazing.
Flying.
Let's see here. Tyson, he wasn't really included in the movie, which was sucks because Tyson is a huge part of like helping Percy grow and be more, I guess, humane, I guess, towards some of the creatures that are in his new world. Luke's plan is pretty much the same, except in the movie, of course. Kronos, he is set up a little bit more in the show than he is in the books. He's kind of in the back of the minds in the books, but they have kind of brought him a little bit more in present with how they have him communicating, which I like. I think it's a good thing for us to see on the screen. Ending's pretty much the same, monster's the same. So there's a lot of similarity. They did better with, technically the movie has a lot of similarities, just they simplified everything. The biggest difference, I think I just want to get to this part. The biggest difference that really kind of grinds my teeth a little is Clarissa.
Okay.
Clarissa is not used correctly in the TV series from the book. And I understand why they're doing it this way, but there's a reason she's the way she is in the book. Because so she's the daughter of Ares. Ares is a jackbutt. Jackbag. I can use that. Madsen's word. Jackbag. Yes. Mm-hmm. He's a jackbag. And his daughter is the exact same. She is the equivalent of Ares Jackbag. And she is just a bully throughout the book. And they took her into the TV show and created and is changing her. Mm-hmm. She is no longer a bully in the TV show. She is a complex hero. I understand why they're doing it because of the culture today and wanting to get away from bullies and anti-heroes and blah, 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 blah. But it annoys me because she is supposed to be against Percy this whole time. Even when he comes and follows her, she doesn't, in the book, she does not help him. Actually, she's barely a part of the book after they get to the Sea of Monsters, because her crew got stranded somewhere and Percy has to go save her. Not the other way around, where Clarissa comes and tries to help save them. Very, very different. And it is Clarissa in the TV show who grabs the fleece. That's not how that worked either. Percy and Annabeth get the fleece and they're heading back. And Percy at the end of the book says, you know what? This was your quest. You need to be the one to take it. Mm-hmm. Now, they have the same kind of conversation in the TV show, but how they get to that point is very, very different. In the book, it's more of a, because even though this is my bully, I understand the significance of this. I'm starting to understand her a little bit. Even though she's going to continue to bully me, I'm going to be the bigger person sort of deal. Where on the other end is they're almost friends by this point at the end. And it's very different because she's still a bully in the books later on. And I'm wondering what they're going to do with her as they move forward. Almost like she's kind of they're getting along, which doesn't sit well with me. But again, that's my pickiness from the books.
I feel like that's one of those things that are kind of hard to draw out in a series. Like in a book, I feel like nuances like that are a lot easier. But then like on a screen, they know a lot of people aren't going to have the attention span of readers. So it'll be like they need to drive the change in that relationship in a much more diluted kind of way. So I feel like, it's kind of like from the outside point of view, but I feel like that's usually why stories like that end up looking like that. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's one of those just like, the struggle of, page to screen.
Does she have like a redemption later, like in the series? Yes. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're worried about that too. If she's too much of a bully, audiences who watch it maybe won't buy into a change. I think they would personally. I don't think that's necessarily right, but maybe that's part of it too, is they're worried down the line if they're going to continue the series that people won't come around.
Well, and her redemption is so much later in the books that it might take too long.
Because if it happens too quickly, then there's no character development. But if it happens too long, people get bored.
Her character development was very quick to me in this book. It just to me, I'm like, this is not Clarissa. Actually, you're not even supposed to barely be in this series, in this like book. So what are you doing here? Like, she's not really a strong character throughout the book series, and I feel like they're trying to bring her into it. And Rick's a part of it, so it's not like they're doing something that he is saying no to. I don't know where they're going with why they're bringing her in so much more when she's not really there until like really the last battle, which is book five. I don't know. But it is what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, media has to be different. It can't be exactly like the book, or we wouldn't read the books.
True.
This is very true. It never is. It never is like the book. Verbatim.
Yeah.
There's always going to be something changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I will say one other thing. I forgot about this in the TV show. The other thing that annoyed me is when they were at the island. So I don't remember where you were, if you saw this in the series. So at one point they get stuck on the island. Remember the island in Greek mythology? I can't remember her name. Ah, shoot. Who's the witch? Shoot. I want to say, I keep thinking Clarissa, and it's not, that's not correct.
Is it Cersei?
Yeah, Cersei. Thank you. Yeah. So they get stuck on Cersei's island. And what annoyed me in the show is they made her an adult. Mm-hmm. And she's supposed to be a teenager, like their age, because she ends up dating one of the demigods later on in like the next, like the second part of the 10 books. Okay. And she's supposed to be a teenager. She's supposed to be their age. Yeah. So I'm like looking at this woman in the TV show. I'm like, you're not going to be able to date Will later on. Or not Will. Who she date? I don't remember. She dates somebody. Mm-hmm. And because he comes and saves her. And I'm like, you're not... Like, the island is not supposed to, he completely changed the island. The island was not supposed to have all these demigods. That is not a part of the series. Mm-hmm. Her, like, helping them so they don't get, like, hit by the sirens, that's not a thing. Like, all of that was, like, added into the TV show. Ah. And I don't understand why. I kind of want to look at Rick and be like, why didn't you stop that? Mm-hmm. Because that's going to ruin books six through ten. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. What's going on? And she's also, Cersei's also in the newest books that are happening. So I'm just like, okay, well, you screwed up, but it's fine. You'll fix it at some point. Maybe she'll just miraculously become a teenager again.
Maybe.
Who knows? Who knows? But I did love at the island the moment where like Percy and Annabeth kind of have this weird, like he sees her in her like Greek getup and like has a teenage boy moment of like, oh, she's pretty. And you like, they like do this weird, like almost accidental handhold, and then they realize what they're doing and they like go apart and their eyes go wide. I'm like, it's starting.
Yes.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Because nothing happens with, I mean, spoiler alert, they get together in the end. But it doesn't happen till like book four or five.
Right. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
So when you get to start seeing it here and I'm like, you're so cute. And I still stand by it, especially after the season. I'm like, Walker is going to be that generation's heartthrob. Mm-hmm. That boy is adorable.
He's very cute. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has the chiseled features. He has the blonde hair, curly hair, mm-hmm. cute eyes. I'm like, oh, you are this generation's Heath Ledger to me. Mm-hmm. This is going to be interesting. Yeah,
girls are going to love him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
I agree.
Yeah. I think that's all I had for this. Anybody else have any other thoughts,
questions? Well, for the movie, some highlights. Nathan Fillion was in the movie.
Oh, yes. I mean, yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the only good part of the movie.
We were both like, hey.
I love him. Yeah.
Yeah, we were excited to see him. Yeah, when he showed up. Funny as always.
I was really hoping they were going to recast him as Hermes in the TV series. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I like Lin-Manuel, but... Fillion would have been better.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's already got a full-time job, so that's probably why.
This is true.
But I know. He's on the rookie.
I remember when we watched the first movie, you kept hinting at Nathan Fillion. So, yeah, when this movie came, I was like, oh, right, he's in this world.
I forgot about that.
They, like, switched character. Like, they switched actors on who Ares was or Hermes was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we also had a sighting of Giles, Anthony Stewart Head. Yep. I was like, oh, he's in this now. Mm-hmm. Okay. No idea they recast that character either. So
yeah, he's the guy who Pierce Brosnan played in the first one, right?
Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Chiron, the centaur. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot they recasted him. Mm-hmm. I mean, Pierce Brosnan was a little weird to be Chiron. Giles,
Anthony Stewart Head.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Anthony, what I would have thought would have been a better choice for both movies as Chiron, because he's supposed to be like wise and almost Giles-like. Mm-hmm. So it made more sense to me.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and the problem with the second movie is they didn't, like in you watched the first episodes, Sammy, they have a different camp director when he gets there, and it's Tantalus, and that's book related. Like that's the same thing as the book. Mm-hmm. So they didn't do that in the movie. Mm-hmm. But I hate Tantalus. When he was finally gone, I'm like, thank goodness. Yeah. He's the worst. Absolute worst. Mm-hmm. Now in the book, he doesn't shoot at them. He doesn't like threaten to kill anybody.
Okay.
I'm just like, what the heck? Stop it.
Very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's no bueno. When he got killed, when he got destroyed, I'm like, thank you.
Oops.
Bye-bye. Go away. I don't like you. You're a horrible Greek character.
It's fine. It's fine.
Oh my gosh. But the birds, you probably didn't watch the chariot race. So they do a chariot race in the series. And it reminds me of, what's that movie? The old movie, Ben-Hur, I think is the Greek movie or the Roman movie that does the chariot races. It's like old. And it reminds me of that. And it makes me laugh because then their birds attack. And it's a really cool episode. If you ever go back to watch the rest of the series, that episode is really cool. With the chariot race and fight. Yeah. And that's how they determined that Clarissa was going to be the, in the TV show, they determined that Clarissa was going to be the one to do the quest because of her winning the chariot race. Oh. That's not how they chose her in the book. They chose her for some other reason. I don't remember, but, I liked that. I honestly liked that better than what they did in the book. Because in the book, the Oracle just chooses, which is stupid. Okay. Have them fight for it.
Prove why you should do it.
Makes sense. Even though she decided to win the race instead of helping people because there were monsters attacking. There were these birds that were attacking everyone. Instead of helping with the attack of the birds, she just finished the race so she could win the thing. Mm. So she's a selfish Aries child.
Mm. There you go.
Yeah.
It's good. Go watch Sea of Monsters, which is season 2 of Percy Jackson.
Yeah. It's a good show. For sure.
I think that's all I got.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, Pixie Dusters, please join us for next week as we start the second half of Books to Media Month, where we're going to talk Narnia. Dan was lost.
Dan. Oh, no, he's gone.
He's gone.
I got a note. Fine. Oh, there he is.
Here he is. So join us next week, Pixie Dusters, for The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yep.
Hopefully Dan doesn't disappear again during that episode. Bye! Yes.
Bye!
's for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy. Logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.
Calling all you horror enthusiasts. If you are brave enough, we dare you to listen to our horror podcast, You Can't Kill the Boogeyman Podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by Limitless Broadcasting Network. This show is available wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Don't forget to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.